island, as you probably know, as we've talked about. And just like most islands, there's a lot of fishermen that are on the island. Now, I heard the story of a fisherman who came from a long family of fishermen. His father was a fisherman, his grandfather was a fisherman, and the line continued on further and further back. He grew up hearing stories of the one that got away. He grew up hearing stories of how his father would go out with the spear and with the spear gun and the nets and catch these large fish. And he grew up being taught how to use these things, how to use the spear, how to use the net, how to use the bait. He had everything you needed to be a good fisherman. He had wonderful nets, he had wonderful poles, he had wonderful spears, but he never caught a single fish. Do you know why? Would you like to guess why? Because he never went fishing. Not once. He can have all this knowledge, he can have all this ability, but if you never put it to practice, you will never get anywhere. So he had all this information, but he did nothing with it. And one of the big issues that we often have as a Christian is we do nothing. We pass up opportunities that we could be using. Many times when we go out to eat, one of the boys will knock over a cup, and then everybody scoots out of the way, and the water just floods the floor. And we say, "Why don't you grab a napkin? Why don't you do something?" And they say, "Well, we didn't. It wasn't our mess. We're not going to do anything." They just scoot back away from it. They're doing nothing. And other times, one of the boys or my wife and I might be struggling to carry something. And we say, we try to get them to open the door, and we have to kick the door out of the way. And we say, "Well, why didn't you do something?" And they say, "Why are you yelling at me? I didn't do anything." And that's the point. You did nothing. So quite often, one of the things we run into as Christians is doing nothing. Sometimes it can be a sin to do nothing. In some situations, we know what to do, but we think someone else will do it. Years ago, a group named Acapella had a song that went like this: "Everybody knows that anybody could do the important thing somebody should do. Everybody knows that anybody could do all the good things that nobody did." And that's what happens quite often. We have people that think, "Well, we have some really good teachers. They've been doing this for years. They know what they're doing. I don't want to try to teach. I'm new to this. I might mess up. I might do something wrong. We have so many people here who can teach. Let them do it. Let them do it." We have other people that think, "Well, why should I try to have a Bible study with someone else? We have preachers, we have elders, we have teachers that know so much more about the Bible. Let's let them have the studies. There's no reason that I should try to go out and do something. I might say something wrong. I might be met with a question that I don't know the answer to." Well, that again is doing nothing when you could have done something. Some won't step up to lead prayer or to lead singing or to do scripture reading or to speak because they think, "Oh, there are other people here that are much better at that than I am. Why should I try that? Why should I mess up when they do it so well?" Also, in other situations, we're not really sure what we should do, and we think it's better to do nothing than to mess something up. We leave the visitation to people who really know what they're doing. "Oh, I wouldn't know what to do if I went to visit a sick person. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do in this situation that someone has just lost a loved one. I might say the wrong thing." We have people here who have been visiting people for years. Let's let them continue to visiting. I don't want to try that. And many times we sit back and do nothing when we could be doing something. Sometimes we just don't feel like doing anything. We're too tired. Or we put it off and we'll say, "Okay, well, maybe I'll do it tomorrow." And then tomorrow comes and you push it off to the next day. And the next day and the next day. And so you continue to do nothing when there's many things you could have done. So, is doing nothing a sin? Can we get in trouble for doing absolutely nothing? Okay, let's look at some illustrations from the Bible and I'll let you decide. So first, let's look at Matthew 25. You'll turn to Matthew 25. Starting in 14, you'll see this parable that we're all very familiar with, the parable of the talents. It tells the story of three men who had an overseer that was going to be leaving town. So he gave each one of them something as he left. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made 5 other talents. And likewise he had received 2, gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So he dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He decided that the best thing to do with this ability, with this talent that he had been given, with this amount of money that he had been given, is to bury it in the ground, to do nothing with it. He protected it. Now, many times, that's what we do with the truth. We have the good news of God. We have the information that's in the Bible, but we store it in our minds and in our hearts, and it never comes out of our mouths. We don't share it with each other. We don't discuss it with each other. We don't discuss it with our neighbors and with our friends. Now, studying is very good. It's very good to know this information. It's very good to have it. But God wants us to share that knowledge with others, to share that information with others, to share the good news with others. Now, when a person receives good news, it's human nature to want to share it with others. And when a new baby is born, do you say, well, I would tell somebody about it, but I'm a little embarrassed. I'm not sure what they would think. You know, if I went over and told him about my new baby, well, he might start talking about his baby. And we don't want that. There's no telling where that discussion could go. Now, you don't think about things like that. When you have good news, like a baby being born, you want to share that information with others. You want to do what you can to tell people about that. And that should be the same feeling that we have with the best news, with the good news, with the gospel. We should be ready to share that information with each other and with those around us. Now, what happened here when the master came back? When the servants gave the report. To the first, the 2 that had doubled, he said, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. He said that to the 2 that worked, but what did he say to the 1 that did nothing? Well, first off, when the master asked him why he did nothing, he started making excuses. He said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did scatter no seed, and I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. He started making excuses. Now, a lot of times when we are confronted with things like that, like if someone comes up and says, I was in the hospital for a whole week, and nobody in the congregation came to visit me. Now, I know that's something that never would happen here, but it happens. And what happens when you're confronted with that, when someone comes to you like that? Well, you'll say something like, well, I knew you were there, but I thought you might be there a few more days, or we had something come up, I really wanted to come out there. A lot of times, we'll start making excuses. The same thing with teaching. If someone approaches you and asks you to teach a class, well, a lot of times you might say, well, I just got a lot of stuff going on at work. We've got a lot of stuff going with our family, and I just think it would be too taxing on me to try something like that. So a lot of times we just make excuses and end up doing nothing, just like this man with the talent. So what did his Lord say? It says, starting in verse 24, but his Lord answered him and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given. He will have an abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And to cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you look there, the master called him a wicked and slothful or lazy servant. Now, the first part, the lazy part, which I guess is the second part, I can understand. Yes, he was lazy. He could have done some work, but instead he chose not to do work. But what about that other part? What about the wicked? How is that wicked? How is doing nothing wicked? Why is he being punished for doing nothing? He didn't steal the talent. He didn't lose the talent. He still had it. So how was he wicked? He didn't waste it like the prodigal son did. We know that story very well. He didn't go out and take that talent and have fun with it and come back to the master and say, I'm sorry, I spent it. So, how was that wicked? Well, Jesus finished the story by saying that this worthless servant should be cast into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this worthless servant is being sent to hell for what? For doing nothing. Nothing at all. Right? He did absolutely nothing. If we look at James 4:17, it says, for whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So that's the sin. The sin is doing nothing. Let's look at another story that I'm sure you are all familiar with. Luke 10:30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. That's another story that we all know very well. Starting in verse 30, it says, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So this man was left alone, bleeding, lying in a ditch. And first, a priest came by. Priest, that's the servant of the people. That's the speaker for God. He was the connection between God and the people. But when he had this opportunity to make a connection with this man on the side of the road, he chose to go the other way. He did nothing. He walked completely by him. Second, the Levite. The Levite were the hands for the temple. They were the workers. They were the hard workers. And what does he do when he is confronted with a man lying in the ditch? Same thing. He did nothing. He walked on the other side of the road and left him there. Now, did they beat this man? No. Did they order him to be beaten? No. Well, then what did they do? Did they break any of the Ten Commandments by doing nothing and walking on the other side? No. But they did nothing. They had no compassion on the man and did nothing to reach out to the man. Could they have helped him? Yes. Did they make the right choice? Was Jesus proud of their decisions? I don't think so. Let me remind you again what James 4:17 said. For whoever knows to do the right thing and does it not, for him it is sin. Also, 1 John 2:17 says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God abides forever. So we should not be sitting around and doing nothing. We should all be doing the will of God. Matthew 7:21 tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's active. It's not a passive thing. It's doing the will of the Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:58, we see, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now let's go back to the story that came from the scripture reading. That was about the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25:41-46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister you? And he will answer them, saying, truly I say unto you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Again, the problem with the goats is they did nothing. When the opportunity presented itself, they chose not to take it. And they received the same punishment that was discussed earlier. You'll go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. John 15:14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now let's look at one more story here. Let's look at Mark 11. Jesus has a run-in with a fig tree. Mark 11, 13 and 14. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said, And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciple heard it. And in 20 through 21, it says, and they passed by in the morning, and they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to them, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. So what did this fig tree do wrong? Was it growing apples? No. Did it catch him as he was trying to walk by? No, it did nothing. It did not grow a single fig. Did absolutely nothing. But there's also another story that he tells about fig trees. So look in Luke 13, 6 through 9. Jesus tells another parable. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I can find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered them, sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and put in manure. Then if it shall bear no fruit next year, it'll well and good. And if not, you can cut it down. So this is the good news. God did not curse this fig tree. He gave it more time. If you're sitting here in the audience today, you have more time. You have time to fix those things that you may have overlooked. Maybe there are things on your mind right now that you could think of that you can be doing, that you've been putting off, that you could be out doing. This tree had more time. And if it did nothing after a year, it was going to have the same fate, though. It was going to be cut down. So God is giving you more time out there today. So is he waiting on you to do something? Is there something in your life that you could be out there doing? If you've been sitting around and doing nothing, maybe it's time to step up and do something. Now, maybe there's something in your life that you need the prayers of the congregation with. And we are there for you. The elders here and the preacher here are always there for you any time that you need those prayers. The congregation is here for you if you need those prayers. Or maybe it is obeying the gospel that you've been putting off. And that's a decision that no one can afford to put off. Whatever your needs may be, I invite you to stand now as we stand and sing.